Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. Here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I don't know if you have kids. We got a bunch of kids living at our house. Four of them, to be exact. And the three-year-old every morning, I guess I have to thank Disney's for this. The three-year-old each morning wakes up and her first thought is like wearing a princess dress, like which dress to wear. I'm not sure that this is helping Disney, but it's like I literally am ordered around each morning by Elsa or Moana or Ariel, or depending on which dress she wants to wear. And if you are a parent out there who's got a kid who's like seven or under, you're probably dealing with some form of this. And then we have neighbors who give us these dresses because their kids outgrow them. I think that it's headed in a healthy place, but it doesn't feel healthy when the three-year-old's saying, hey, I want to be Elsa, like from the moment she's up. So I'm dealing with Elsa all morning. But thank you, Disney, for that. Did anybody attend the Marcus Mariota autograph session yesterday? Did you do that? Did you see him? Did you shake his hand? Did you get an autograph? How did it go? I'm curious to know. I know he didn't hold a media availability in conjunction with it. I think that if you are somebody who is big on Marcus Mariota, it probably made your day. I think that if you are somebody who is a Duck fan, it probably made your day. So there's that. Tell me how that went at 503-417-7575 if you are into that. We'll take some phone calls. We'll get to our Blazers insider to talk some NBA coming up. Mike in Vancouver. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Good to hear your voice. As a former photojournalist for 20 years, being a real pure photojournalist, or any type of journalist, a reporter, whatever, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting to actually lay the truth out there, and you never get rewarded for it. You just get punished. And the reality is most people, most journalists end up leaving that whole career and end up going to, maybe you know this as well as I, they end up going to PR firms and advertising firms because they're tired of working too hard and breaking everybody's hearts. So it's just one of those things where, I mean, your heart has to really be in it to tell the truth. And it's just sometimes it's not very fun.
And I also think, like, I don't begrudge anybody who leaves journalism to go to work at a PR firm or work for a university or work for a team. Like, there are a lot of smart, competent, good people who are working in those jobs. I just think that as a reader, listener, viewer, my whole point, my larger point, which I think is a reasonable one, is that you've got to be more discerning. You've got to be more aware, because it is a lot clouded. I think we learned it in the presidential election, like watching the coverage of the presidential election. And I'm not taking one side or the other in that debate, but you have to be aware of where you're getting your information. Our next guest comes to us from ESPN, NBA reporter Chris Haynes joining us. How are you, Haynes?
John, I'm doing good. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing well. Let's talk some NBA, and then I got some questions for you about journalism later, but let's talk NBA. Are you surprised about what you're seeing this summer in the NBA?
How about you? Man, it's pretty. You know, this is what, my sixth or seventh year covering the league. I haven't seen this type of movement, and where the movement is basically determined by what Golden State and Kevin Durant, what they're doing over there. That's why Houston is making his move. That's why OKC is making his move. That's why Boston is trying to, you know, to boost their firepower. Man, it's kind of ridiculous. It's like a one team league right now. Everybody's trying to maneuver to put themselves in position to give themselves a better shot at that squad. And so it's flurry like anything I've seen before that squad covering this league.
You had, obviously, the Gordon Hayward thing. You were way out in front of that. And I know you took some grief because you reported it, and then people were saying, Chris, like, they're saying a deal's not done, and then it comes true. Pretty satisfying when you know something's going to happen, you report it, and it comes true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was just a matter of when they were going to put their Tribune essay out, man. I was comfortable with my sources, people that I trusted. And, you know, man, let that be a lesson to any up-and-coming reporters out there who want to get in this field, man. You develop your sources. You try to infiltrate certain circles. And you stand by your reporter, no matter what anybody's saying out there. So that's what I did. And at the end of the day, you know, I felt pretty good about what I did.
We're talking to Chris Haynes, ESPN NBA reporter. We're watching a league that has James Harden now making more money than Steph Curry. Where is it all headed?
That's the NBA money. That's the new revenue NBA money. I mean, you got a lot of former players pissed. Just about, you know, you got the average Joe in the NBA making upwards of $20 million a season. And it's crazy. Like, but at the same time, John, like, there's still some players that still getting some big money. I mean, nobody saw Tim Hardaway, you know, come up with that salary that New York gave him. But this year, like last year, players who weren't free agents, they looked at what Evan Turner got, what Allen Crabbe got. It was like, okay, we're going to cash out next summer. And that hasn't been the case. The market has been kind of dry. You got, you know, Iguodala, he was only able to get around $15 million. I mean, I know that's good for a 33-year-old, but if you're looking at Evan Turner, Allen Crabbe, and guys like that, looking at Kent Bazemore, you would have thought he was going to get in the 20s easy. And so it's kind of – the numbers have been kind of conflicted, and there's a lot of players who are just pissed about the fact that they feel like maybe their agents aren't doing a good job. But it's just like I think teams are getting smart. Like Kyle Lowry, he wanted 4 years. And last year or maybe 2 years ago, he would have gotten 4 years, but – teams aren't willing to just give a, you know, a four-year deal now, you know, because they understand at the back end of that contract, it may come back to bite them. So I don't know. It seemed like it was kind of balanced this summer, but, you know, we'll see. I think I need to see more. I need to see more years to make a final determination on where it's all headed.
Hey, ESPN's Chris Haynes is with us. I'm looking at the team payrolls. The Blazers at $134 million have the highest payroll in the NBA and a lot of bad contracts. How do the Blazers get out of that mess?
Man, they got to find a team to dump some salary. Like, it's going to have to be, I would think, in a three-team scenario where they may get a promising guy back, but they're shipping out two players such as maybe Myles Leonard or Mo Harkless or somebody like that to a team who has cap space and is willing to take on that salary for a pick. So it's going to have to be that type of scenario to occur. I don't think they'll be able to just get rid of a team, you know. I mean, get rid of those players by just doing a one-on-one trade. It's going to be tough, man, because, you know, a lot of those players, man, you know, you said it right there. They're not producing up to the salary level that they're receiving right now. So it's going to be difficult for them to get that done.
I know you love the NBA, and I know that you cover it. When you look across the league, I see places like Portland, Milwaukee, you know, Charlotte, Memphis, Orlando, and I go Utah, and I say, okay, how can these teams compete? Help me out with this. What can Adam Silver do to make everybody feel like they have a chance?
You know, they thought implementing this new supermax into the CBA, they thought that was going to help teams at least retain their star players, but we're seeing that having the opposite effect. You know, the likes of it's not the same situation, but Gordon Hayward, Bolton, and Paul George getting out. And I don't know, man. I think it's always going to be an imbalance. Players want to play in big markets. They want to play with other great players now. Like, you look at Kevin Durant and what he did, his move he's made. Now, I'm just assuming, I haven't talked to him about this in particular, but players are thinking about their legacy even more. You know, they look at all the documentaries about Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, you know, all the guys who haven't won championships. And they were great players. They were great players, but there was still a stain. And so nowadays, players are doing that. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get that championship. And, you know, if that means joining a team that's already stacked or whatever. So I can't say players don't want to win like they used to, but it's just they're willing to go extra leaps and bounds to get that title. And to go back to your question, I don't know the answer. I don't know, because, you know, really, do players just gravitate to Milwaukee? Do they gravitate to Salt Lake City? Do they gravitate to Portland? History says no. So, I mean, I don't know the answer to that, John.
Are the players more motivated, in your opinion, by the money, or is there so much money that it becomes about winning and playing time because they know they're going to get the money anyway somewhere?
That's a good question. I think initially, first 7-8 years of a player's tenure in the league, they want to capitalize and get as much money as possible. And I think around that 8th year, if they haven't yet received, haven't yet secured a title, that's when they start looking elsewhere. That's when they start looking elsewhere. Like Dame. Dame is Portland through and through. Like, he's went out there and said he's not joining a super team. He's not doing that. He's not doing this. But I want to wait. I want to wait a couple years to see if he continues to have playoff exits or, you know, maybe some seasons not even making the playoffs, if he still has that tune. People grow up. Players grow up. They have different tastes. And so that's just the way it is. I think players still want to win, John. I still players still want to win. But I think, as you can see, with a lot of star players, once they start seeing – that, man, that window is closing, they'll pretty much do what it takes to join or put themselves in the position to be on a championship contending team.
Our guest is Chris Haynes of ESPN. He covers the NBA. Chris, when I brought you on, I was talking about journalism and partnerships that teams have with news entities. When you've got a TV partner that is in a partnership with a team, of course, the team is thinking, hey, we're getting favorable coverage. You worked at Comcast Sportsnet Northwest. Is that real with the team looking over your shoulder? Is that a real thing that you're aware of when you're working there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's not to the point where, how can I say this? It's not to the point where I'm mute, like they put me mute, but it is. That's the team partner. They have a relationship. And so, I couldn't write whatever I wanted to write, like I did when I left to the Cleveland Plain Dealer or what I'm doing at ESPN. So, it's something that, I mean, you look at everybody. I mean, just look across the country at the TV partners and look at their beat guys. And you just judge them. You judge them how what they're writing about the team, how the favorable coverage is. And, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it. You know, I don't think that makes that reporter any less of a reporter, but that's reality.
That's what I say is, like, I don't begrudge people for making a living and working where they need to work. And you, obviously, you came up and that was the job that was available to you. You take it. But it must have felt different to you or better when you leave Comcast Sportsnet Northwest and you go to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, where, like, you don't have the GM of the team meeting with your boss going, hey, this was too critical or whatever was said back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, John, that stuff goes on, you know, everywhere. You know, that stuff goes on. It happens. It's part of it. And you got to deal with it, and you make the best of it. You try to provide coverage to the fans as best you can under the circumstances. But, you know, yeah, it's there.
All right.
At the end of the day, it's there.
Chris, I really appreciate your time. You've got kids, right? You've got a bunch of kids at your house like I do.
Yeah, I got a basketball team.
How many girls?
Four girls.
Okay. All right. We're talking the same language now. I've got three. All right. You have an issue with Disney princess dresses at morning time when kids are getting dressed, or the three-year-old wants a different princess dress every day, and I'm not sure this is healthy.
Oh, no, I haven't really had that problem, John.
Cinderella, Ariel, you know, it's
yeah, they got, you know, my girls got that. They've had that. It got to a point where I forgot, Princess Tiana.
Yeah,
the Frog.
Yeah, the Frog.
It got to the point where my daughters, they went to school, they had to have it on. So we just put their regular school clothes over that. And so we kind of compromise that way. I mean, at that point, there's nothing you can do. You got to let them sleep in and take a bath in and do whatever. They'll grow out of it soon.
Chris Haynes, you're the best. I appreciate you, man.
Take care, JC.
All right. There he is now with ESPN as an NBA reporter. That's the reality. And it's existing, and it's – I think this, if anything positive has come out of the last presidential election news cycle – it has been the realization, I think, from a lot of people that when you're watching whatever network you're watching, and again, I'm not picking a side here. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with this, that, but the realization that you have to consider the source of the news, the information, kind of, you know, I'm not telling you not to read it. I'm not telling you not to think about it. I'm not telling you not to examine it. Do what you want to do. I love that there's content available for you in many different places. But what I am going to tell you is you have to look at where it's coming from and read it through that lens, or disseminate that information through that lens. If it's coming from the news partner, the team, or it's the actual broadcast that the broadcaster's on the payroll of the team, you've got to go, okay, this is the information I'm getting, and this is the filter in which it's coming through. And I agree with Chris that it's not like it doesn't mean that that's a bad person. Like, some of my good friends are in PR, working for teams, working for organizations, and, you know, bless them. There are job people need to feed their families. They need to, you know, have a career. I used to have people get mad at me. They get mad at me when I first made that transition from just being a sports columnist and just being in the print world. I was a little ahead of the curve, moving to electronic media and on the radio. People got mad because there was like, well, why, you're not a broadcaster. Why are you getting the contract? I had that conversation with an established broadcaster. It was like upset at me that a radio station wanted to give me a show. And I was on an airplane. And the guy and I were having, it wasn't like a bad disagreement. We were having a discussion about it, and he was like, I don't understand why you got this long-term contract. I'm the broadcaster. And this guy that was listening over, eavesdropping on the conversation, leaned across the aisle, and he said, excuse me. He said, I can't help but overhear this, and I'm wondering, why would you begrudge him for getting what he's getting? I've always had that mentality. I've worked with a lot of different personalities in a lot of different markets, and media entities are weird entities. You got to be a different animal to be good in media and to cover teams and to immerse yourself in it and to love it the way that a lot of the media members love it. You got to be a different animal. And I have never looked over at anybody else and thought, oh, why are they getting what I'm not? But that happens. It happens a lot. It happens frequently. It happens to me. It's happened to, I've watched other people do it to other coworkers. And I'm always like, man, carve your own way. Figure out what you want to be as a journalist. Figure out who you want to be as a commentator, radio host, whatever it is that you want to be, go be it. But my message, the larger point would be to people who are disseminating information, you got to look at where you're getting it from. Because if you don't, you're not getting the full picture. All right, coming up, we've got, if you love Bull Durham, if that's a movie that you love, I have a special thing coming up for you at 2 o'clock. You know the guy who is hitting when Crash Davis says, "Charlie, when you speak of me kindly." Because Nuke shakes off Crash Davis. Paul Devlin, he's a Boston Red Sox minor leaguer. He's a former minor leaguer. He's the guy who took Nuke deep in Bull Durham, and he has made a life out of being that guy after the movie. I love this guest coming up at 2 o'clock. Gliss did a great job tracking him down, but he found the guy that took Nuke deep, and that guy probably never pays for a drink. He goes into the bar, and everybody's like, "Hey, that's the guy who took Nuke deep." He's coming up at 2 o'clock. Plus, all the news and sound from all around sports, the best news and sound, that's going to be part of our next segment. You might be listening in Portland on 102.9 or 750 The Game. You might be listening on Fox Sports Eugene. I appreciate you, but you got the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great.
He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth.
John's Waterproofing, great company. Whether you're listening to this show on 102.9 or 750 The Game in Portland or down in Eugene on Fox Sports Eugene, 95.7 FM and 1050 AM, you're listening on the BFT Radio Network, but you're also listening in an area that John's Waterproofing services. Look, I've used John's Waterproofing. If you've got an issue with your basement, with water, with a funny smell, mold, mildew, we put a basement system in a home that we own that encapsulated the crawl space, changed the house, changed the smell, changed the air quality, the investment is protected. They serve the greater Portland area, Salem, Beaverton, Eugene, Portland, Vancouver. John's Waterproofing. It's a great company. They're the local experts for waterproofing, basement finishing, mold problems, crawl space repair. I've used them. I swear by them. John's Waterproofing is a great company. Go to bettercrawlspaces.com to get information or call them at 877-526-8141. That's 877-526-8141. You can get a free estimate. Tell them Canzano sent you. Let's play.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Trailblazers trailed the Boston Celtics yesterday at Bummer League, 11-0 to start the game. Celtics went on to a 70-64 win that was less than thrilling. One of the bright spots was Caleb Swanigan. I like Swanigan's game. But Terry Stotts, Blazers coach, gave his impressions of both his rookies, Zach Collins and Caleb Swanigan. Punch it.
You know, I like the way they both compete, first and foremost. When we drafted them, they have a really good work ethic. They compete at both ends of the floor. They're good kids. I'm impressed with their basketball IQ. They pick things up pretty quickly.
A lot of glowing praise from Terry Stotts, and that's his job. That's what he should do. But here's the bottom line. I like Zach Collins. I think ultimately Zach Collins will be the better of the two players. But Caleb Swanigan's going to have the better rookie season. He's more NBA ready. His game translates better. He's an energy guy. He's got everyone wants to go Draymond Green with him. I feel a little more Brian Grant in his game. Rebounder, will work hard. That is a guy that I think a lot of people are going to root for. Zach Collins was 1-for-7 in the game. He struggled and he talked about it. Punch it.
It was frustrating. You know, I don't feel like I'm offensively playing as well as I could be, and the ball's not going in right now, but just got to keep going at it.
He's a good athlete. He has a good feel for the game. I like his upside, but again, let's remember he's 19. I think it's going to be a little while before Zach Collins is a polished player. And I said it after the draft. I like him at that position. I think he's going to make me look bad before he makes me look good. But I think in the end, I like my chances. During the Summer League broadcast on NBA TV, Mark Cuban said what no owner ever says. He says, we're rebuilding. And he talked about why they decided to rebuild. Punch it.
How would you term where the Mavericks are at right now?
We're rebuilding, right? And there's no question about it. And, you know, if we were in the East, we would not be rebuilding. We'd be handling things completely different. I think I'm going to kidnap Adam Silver and not let him out until he moves us to the Eastern Conference. But, yeah, given where we are, given where the Warriors are and what's happening in the Western Conference, it kind of, you know, sealed what we have to do.
I really like Mark Cuban. He speaks his mind. He doesn't worry what people think of him. I think everybody gets caught up in that. And he's being real there. What the Warriors are doing and what some other teams in the Western Conference are doing trying to stay with the Warriors, it's got to be awfully discouraging for a franchise like the Dallas Mavericks. Not to mention discouraging for the franchises like Utah, Portland, and some others who are just trying to become relevant. They're in a rebuild, and I like that he says so. Nobody ever says that. Why are people so afraid to say we're rebuilding? It's like NBA owners are standing in front of their house, and their house has been blown down. And they're like, no, we're in a youth movement. No, we're staying in the arms race. Cuban's got rubble behind him, and he's like, we're rebuilding. And guess what? If we were in the East, we wouldn't be. We'd be trying to win right now. Tennessee Titans are hot in the NFL power rankings, trending upwards. Field Yates of ESPN explains why the Titans are trending upward. Punch it.
Two teams cracked the top 10 on the rise in this latest ranking.
Yeah, very much on the rise with the Tennessee Titans, and we begin at number 9 because, of course, the quarterback is in place on top of the overall organizational structure. But Marcus Mariota showed plenty of promise during his second season. Now, needs to be better overall with his decision-making, and we'll see if Tennessee eventually unleashes him more as a runner. But the offensive line is there, the running backs are there, and it looks like the wide receiving core is there now as well.
I don't want to see him as a runner first, but he's got good feet. And who doesn't love Marcus Mariota's game? Such a class guy. I just saw so much from him in his time at Oregon, and I just got as a media member, you just get a scratch the surface look at guys. But what a classy, genuine individual that Marcus Mariota is. He makes an appearance yesterday in Portland.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.